Hi, I'm Catherine Galligan, and I believe that love is the most important thing, not only in the world, but in the whole universe. I created the Love to You All podcast as a platform to offer the wisdom and inspiration necessary for us to create a world where love is the guiding force. Together, we can release the protective barriers that keep us from giving, receiving, and fully embodying love. Join me and my guests as we explore the many ways to be the love for a world longing for change, peace, and hope. I believe it's my soul's mission to inspire the courage you need to be the most loving frequency you came here to be in this lifetime. I'm so glad you're here because we have got a world to change. Hello and welcome to Love to You All. I am Catherine Galligan, and I am the host of this podcast. And I'm very grateful that you're here taking the time just to get to know me a little bit better, because I hope that we have a nice long future together talking about love and how to become the frequency of love. And in my opinion, the world needs more love. And so let's talk about how we can make that happen, because I'm going to need your help. So, first, I just want to share a little bit about me. I can't imagine that many people know me. I'm just a private citizen living in Richardson, Texas. But I also want to share with you just the inspiration behind this podcast and why I was motivated to do this in the first place. So first, I'll start with me. I was born and raised in Texas, and that's where I live now. I'm in the outskirts of Dallas. And as far as my adult timeline goes, I had a corporate career in my 20s, and then I became a stay-at-home mom. And then at the end of my 30s, I became a yoga teacher. And then soon thereafter, I started a yoga studio. And during that yoga studio decade, I went down a path of studying a science called Ayurveda, and I became an Ayurveda wellness practitioner. So basically, I went from having this really corporate, you know, investment banking life, which was entailed long hours, it was really demanding and stressful, to having a career that was more centered in wellness and self-understanding and self-development. So I really switched gears about halfway through my adult life, and I'm glad I did. I'm glad I did because, you know, along the way, my values started to change pretty significantly. And, you know, in my opinion, for the better. For sure, my physical health and my emotional and spiritual health became a bigger priority than it had been. But maybe more importantly, what changed is how I defined success. That changed radically. So the younger Catherine measured success by wealth, by title, by awards and certifications and stuff like that. And I don't think of things like that anymore. Now I measure how successful I am by how much I can love. It's like the new standard for me. And you know, I've thought about this. Like I've thought about the end of my life. You know, and it's not like I'm so old. I'm in my 50s now. But I do think that probably my life is half over. I think it's fair to say that. And, you know, I don't think about it often. But when I think about being on my deathbed, I highly doubt I'm going to look back and reflect on all my awards and career wins and how much money I had. I don't even think I'm going to think about that at all. I think what I will be thinking about, however, is all the people that I got to love and how lucky I was to have those relationships. So, you know, it's like, how did I go from this, you know, jaded, cynical version of Catherine to the more spiritual one that I am now? You know, because I don't just think it's age. I know plenty of people older than me that are jaded and cynical. And so, you know, let me explain what happened. First of all, I did get on a spiritual journey. And I would say what marked the beginning of that was actually a book. And it was somebody gave it to me. It was a book about past life regression. And I do remember receiving it in 2002. Okay. And it was written by a psychiatrist named Dr. Brian Weiss. And so maybe you've heard of him. And used hypnosis and past life regression to heal his patients from their, you know, psychotic ailments. But I remember at the time reading, first of all, I couldn't put the book down. And I remember thinking, like, I knew it, you know, I knew there was more than just this one life, you know. This explains why some people are old souls, you know. The book actually, it gave me so much peace. Like, okay, all right, maybe this whole idea that I was raised with that, you know, when you die, you either go to heaven or you go to hell, depending on how good or bad you were, isn't really the whole story. Or, you know, maybe it's not even the correct story. But that was the beginning. So that was, you know, well over 20 years ago that I started thinking about things maybe a little bit differently. And then fast forward about 15 years later, and I discover this really lovely woman named Anita Morjani. And I first learned about her by watching a documentary called Heal. And so maybe you've seen that, but if not, please put it on your list. It's so good. It's so good that I screened it at my yoga studio 3 times. That's how good I at least thought it was. And you know, other people did too. But Anita, she's perhaps one of my most favorite spiritual teachers. I even went to one of her special retreats in Sedona, Arizona. And I'm so grateful that I did that because, you know, I got to be with her firsthand and she's everything that she seems to be. You know, she's written several books, but she delivers the most pure, beautiful messages that I can fathom. So if you don't know her story, let me just fill you in. She had a near-death experience. She actually developed cancer in her body and it brought her to death's door, literally. And she died and passed on to another realm. And then she did come back into her body, you know, basically so she could tell the story, but also just to pound the table with the messages of how important it is to fearlessly be yourself and also to love yourself like your life depends on it, because it does. So those are like her 2 main messages. But the part of her story that deeply resonated with me is that when she died and she passed on to, you know, another realm where you have no body and you just experience other souls, one of the first souls that she encountered was the one of her late father. So while he was alive, the two of them did not have a good relationship. They clashed in their ideals and they fought. And I think that she thought she was a disappointment to him and let him down. But when she encountered him as a spirit, all she felt from him and for him was love. And I'm telling you that when I heard her tell this story, it was like, I knew it right then. Only love is real. That's all we are. When everything else falls away, love is the only thing left. And so only love is real. That is like my huge main takeaway from this woman and her story. And, you know, I went on to go down this rabbit hole of near-death experiences, and so many people say the same thing. You know, I really do believe in this. And that Only Love is Real is actually the title of the book written by Dr. Brian Weiss that I had read 15 years prior. So anyway, because her story, it's just like pierced my being. You know, it's not even my story to tell. And I do hope you go look her up because she has such lovely messages. But you know what I would say about that, her story, is she had to die to learn how loving she could be while she was alive. I'm here to say that we don't have to die to do that. She did it for us. We don't have to die to access that level of love. We can do it now, while we're alive, like right now. And so even our biggest adversary or someone, you know, whatever, who annoys us or is a trigger or gets on our nerves or, you know, a perpetrator of sorts, we can change how we feel about that person, right? We can just drop all the barriers, drop all the defenses, drop all the protection, and just be love for one another, okay? So I think this is possible. I think it's a choice. It's really that simple. So, you know, let's just say that this idea about love has been germinating for a while. But let me just share a little bit more recent inspiration about why I wanted to create this podcast. So do you remember when I said that I was an Ayurveda wellness practitioner? And this was like recent. I'm not really actively practicing that right now, but I did for quite a few years. And basically what it entailed is I help people with their health. This episode is brought to you by my brand new online membership for women called Emerge. Inspired by the Year of the Snake, Emerge is a very special container for women ready to become not only bigger, expanded versions of themselves, but also the highest frequency you came here to be in this lifetime. If you're ready to live a little bit more out loud and step into your power, Emerge is for you. It is a year-long commitment where every month, like-minded women gather together to become even more powerful. It includes a masterclass, lots of learning, and lots of support. I'm your mentor, and I cannot wait to get started because we're going to have an incredible year together. You can find more information to register linked in the show notes. Until then, I can't wait to see you become part of Emerge. So if you're not sure what Ayurveda is, it's a healing science. Some people call it the sister science to yoga. And I think most people would categorize it as alternative medicine. It originated in India. It's very similar to traditional Chinese medicine. I love Ayurveda. Love it, love it. It is a very vast science. And so it's you can really go down an Ayurveda rabbit hole. But just to keep it simple, here's two relevant things to know about Ayurveda. The first one is that Ayurveda wants you to have the health that you need so that your soul can express itself freely while you're living in a body. So whatever reason your soul incarnated into a body, Ayurveda wants you to have the wherewithal to actually execute that purpose while you're alive. Okay? That's a pretty beautiful concept. It's like tenet of medicine, okay? And I can't really say that allopathic medicine has the same ideals, you know? But the second thing about Ayurveda that I think is really neat and sort of what defines it is that food is medicine. Food is medicine and nature is our biggest pharmacy. So no matter what ailment or pathology you might have going on, all remedies when you're being treated under the guise of Ayurveda, it's going to involve changing your diet and following some sort of herbal protocol. So anyway, this is what I used to do. And I used to work with people, you know, in this setting, and I'd sit with clients and we'd have these consultations and they'd fill out health forms and tell me all about their health history. And, you know, people came to me for different reasons. Some people had digestive issues. Some people had skin conditions. Some people had trouble sleeping. I mean, you name it. I didn't have a niche type of a practice. It was more broad. And I sat with a lot of people and I listened to what was going on with them. And after a while, I did notice a trend. And it was that everybody had a different physical problem, but they all had the same root problem. And here's what it was. These people didn't love themselves. And that's a pretty major problem. I mean, it was really concerning for me. And I realized really early on in my practice, like, wow, this is a theme. And, you know, it's probably good that I didn't specialize in one thing because it allowed me to see that at the root of every person's physical problem, you know, it's just like no matter how it showed up in their body, the root of it was an absence of love. And so, you know, I also realized that people could take all the Ayurvedic herbs in the world, you know, till they're blue in the face 6 ways to Sunday, and it's not going to fix anything, at least not permanently. So while people were coming to me for some sort of physical issue in their bodies, they actually were coming to me for help with something much bigger than that. I believe now, like, you know, in looking in the rearview mirror, that it was their higher selves bringing them to me. And it was my higher self that was like trying to tell me, hey, listen to what they're really telling you. Like, listen, you know, will the real problem please stand up? You know, it's not what they think it is. It's not what you think it is. It's something much bigger. And so help them with that much bigger problem. So it's like all of those people, myself included, we just needed to love ourselves and be this frequency of love for ourselves, and our bodies would heal. And so, you know, that was my kind of second, you know, time in my life where I'm like, wow, you know, this whole love thing, it's important. Okay. And I think it's pretty hard to operate through the lens of love and to be a frequency of love when you're not right with yourself. I mean, it's just not available to us. And so let's just say that for me, love is really important. And, you know, that's not the only time that I was kind of thunderstruck with this realization in my life. Okay. So a second time, it happened with a friend of mine. And so, you know, this person goes way back, like way back. And it has to do with something that happened within his family. So, you know how I mentioned that I had this corporate career in my 20s? Well, I was working at this investment bank, and my best friend during that time was this guy named Syed. And now he lives in Atlanta with his wife and his daughter. But this was like, you know, 25 years ago. And we were running buddies during those years. Like, we would work really hard at work, and then, you know, it was high stress and it was kind of demanding. And we would commiserate like over lunch or happy hour and stuff like that. And he became this really treasured friend of mine. In fact, I don't know that I would have predicted how important he would remain to me, even after we've both long moved on from that company, and we live in different cities and we have our own families. But he got married and he started a family, and he had two children. And about 5 years ago, his son died by taking his own life. And it was this horrible, tragic event for Syed's family and all of their friends. And I mean, it's still devastating, just the grief. It's so hard to fathom. I mean, it's put that family through the ringer. And I just, you know, I love my friend so much. But why I bring this up is, a little over a year ago, his wife was in town, and she and I met for tea, and she's amazing in her own right. But I was, you know, I was so happy to sit with her and just kind of hear what was going on. And we were exchanging ideas about entrepreneurship at the time. And at some point while we were having tea, she told me about this dream. And she's like, I want to tell you about this dream that I just had. And clearly this wasn't just any ordinary dream. Okay. So keep in mind that I'm telling this secondhand, but basically in her dream, she was in her bedroom, in her bed, sleeping. And, you know, she's on her side of the bed, and I think she's like laying on her side, and her son walks over to her side of the bed and wakes her up and says, Mom, the world needs more love. And then he just disappeared. And she's telling me this dream, and she's like, I think it was a visit from my son. And I was like, of course. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely it was. And I, of course, she knew that. She didn't need to convince me that's what it was. Because, you know, by this point, I'm an Anita Morjani message touting fool. And so she didn't have to tell me twice. And that story, it really hit me. And it was in that moment in that tea house that I was like, that's it. That's all we need. It's so simple. That's the message. You know, the world needs more love. And I've just found that moment to be really powerful. And the message from her son in her dream was so true. Like, he's right. And why we walk around, all of us humans, you know, every day defending our little hearts and protecting our little hearts, you know, and I'm not trying to belittle things. We've all had major stuff happen to us that, you know, it's understandable why we do what we do. But if we could drop the barriers, I dare say we would, as a human race and collectively together, we'd probably be more productive, and life would be a lot more enjoyable, and we would be creative together. And probably the only thing standing in the way of that is an absence of love. So when I was having tea with Syed's wife, I made a little mental note, you know, I'm going to figure out how I can deliver this message in a way that it gets heard. And so here we are. So what I want to do with this podcast, my main intention is to be a frequency of love, a really high frequency. And I want to teach people how to do this and how to live this way and how to share it with other people. I believe love is one of the highest frequencies that we can be. And when we are that for people, when that's what people feel from us, they start to become that frequency too. You know, just like how entrainment works. It's so powerful. Like how if the butterfly flaps his wings, it can be felt on the other side of the world. So why can't we also do that with love? I mean, we live in a world right now that's full of division and hate and war and worse. And it does not need to be this way. We have a choice. And so I know I'm not the only one, but I'm designating myself as one of the ones to carry this torch, because the more people that receive this message, the better. In fact, please, you know, let's enroll as many people as possible, because it's what the world needs. It's what the world needs to heal, and it's what the world needs to move to a place of creativity and creation and productivity, as opposed to like suffering and destruction and stuff like that. So if we do this, world peace is possible in our lifetime. The power lies within us. And that's what I want. That's my goal. That's the plan. That's what I'm working towards. And I really hope that you're hearing me loud and clear, because I'm not sure I can say it better than this, but I'll say it again. If we allow ourselves to become the level of love now while we're alive, you know, we don't have to wait till we die to do this. We can be the frequency of love that's available to us now. Our world will change. And we will have world peace. Can you imagine that? And of course, this is possible. I would not create this podcast if I didn't believe this is possible. I mean, there's a reason why I'm inspired to do this, because, you know, trust me, I know that there are thousands of podcasts out there. You know, I don't know that the world necessarily needed another one, but I've got a message to share. This is what I'm pounding the table with. And so here we go. And all I'm asking is that you help me. Just help me spread the word to as many people as possible, because the bigger net that we cast, the more likely it is to happen and the faster it'll happen in our lifetime. I mean, we can influence the frequency of the planet now. So having said all of that, thank you for listening to this. Thank you for your attention. And I look forward to many more episodes to come where we just go deeper into this topic and we cast a really wide net and we start changing the world together. So until we meet again, I have so much love to you all. Thank you for tuning into this episode of Love to You All. If you're enjoying this show, please share it with someone who you know would benefit. That would mean the world to me. And another fantastic way to support the show is by leaving a positive review and a rating. It just takes a minute. It would make a huge difference. I hope this message reaches as many people as possible. I really appreciate your support. And so until next time, so much love to you all.